And not only that, other Greek statues, particularly I'm thinking of statues from Olympia, will show Zeus actually carrying off a young boy, Ganymede, who was to go to Olympus to be his cupbearer and his young consort. Even Greek myth valorized this appreciation of male beauty and also of the relationship between men by postulating that Iolaus was not only the relative but also the lover of Heracles. So, quite clearly, in many areas of Greek life, homosexuality was taken as a normal experience, a normative experience as well. But it is not simply that we think about homosexuality differently from the way the Greeks do. I'm not appealing to anyone to try to think more liberally about homosexuality in the Greek context. I want to suggest something quite different, namely that the very understanding of masculinity operating in this Greek world is very different from our own. The Greeks, I think, were quite clear about this. Their notion of a homosexual relationship was not that, as we would say, of two equally consenting adults. It was a fundamentally uneven relationship. In the Greek construction, the homosexual relationship is made up of an older lover who is meant to be the actor, the active partner, called the erastes, the lover, if you will. And there is an object of his affections. And I use the term object because even the Greek word suggests passivity. The eromenos is the beloved. He is the one who receives the attentions of the other man. Younger and passive. Now, the view of gender, which I think underlies this construction of homosexuality, is one that is predicated on notions of action, initiation, and superiority, all being part of the masculine realm, while the opposite of that, namely passivity, acquiescence, and so forth, are both feminine and boyish. In the Greek conception, a boy coming up to adolescence is in some ways analogous to a woman. So that what we find is a series of behaviours involving older men and younger boys that really look like what we would consider to be fairly regular heterosexual relationships. Boys are courted publicly and openly in the same way that in another culture men will court women and seek their attention. The older man will bring presents to the boy. He will even bring presents to the family of the boy, hoping that he will be accepted as a worthy suitor for the young boy's attentions. And he will often do this in public places, not only at the boy's house, but in the gymnasium, in a public setting where it can be seen that he is hoping to win the affections of this young boy, to win his favour. And if he is successful, then ideally the relationship, if the older man is accepted as the lover, is meant to be an educational one. He is meant to be tutoring or mentoring the boy as he makes his way from childhood into manhood, as he goes through his adolescence. The older man is there to instruct him in questions of morality, in questions of loyalty, in questions of physical endurance. And this, I think, is most important, there is a recognized endpoint to this relationship. It is dishonorable for a boy who has been the eromenos, the beloved or the passive partner, to continue in that role once he has achieved adulthood. A fully grown man, let us say a boy who has finished his education, started his military service and is now 19 or 20, is too old to be in that role. And he should, in fact, not be the passive partner. At that point, now that he is an adult male, he should do his military service, and he should go on then to be a full adult man, which means having a wife, engendering children so the property can be passed on through the family, and, quite possibly, carrying on a homosexual alliance, but as the active partner, the erastes, no longer the eromenos. So this is a highly ritualized behavior and one that is based, I think, on a very different understanding of the way men are supposed to behave, particularly the differences between boyhood and manhood. The two are not the same thing to the Greeks. They are quite different. It's often been pointed out that this is probably an upper-class behavior, in this sense, that a farmer who is out on the land, eking out a living from the soil, really doesn't have time to be swanning around the gymnasium trying to seduce young boys.